Duran Bernard. Hey, we're back. Woo! Oh, man, that is too sweet.
That last note take me out every time. We drop down to that fireworks event. You just be showing up. you just too cold with it, Duran.
That final resting place.
Oh.
You took me out with that little jazz, man. That little jazz run you did was insane. Every time I just listened to it on repeat because I just want to hear that. I rewinded back to that part every time just to hear that.
I have to say that song almost did not make the project.
Woo! Really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the original composition, that's not the original composition of that song. So when I couldn't get in touch with the guys that had, you know, produced it. I got it to someone else. They weren't responding to emails. So I sent the vocals to Juan Carino, who also brought in Ellen. And and it was funny because I was like, bruh, I was like, maybe it should just be the bass on the chorus and then we can bring it out in the verses. And it came alive and then 3 years later, you know, Lena Waithe, shout out to Lena Waithe, who also be styling me and stuff. she put the song in Boomerang, the series on BET.
Yes, and I remember that, yeah.
And next thing I know, she's like, yo, let's do a video for it. And I'm like, really? Well, why not? And, yeah, it was one of the best experiences, like, from having my friends in there doing makeup and, you know, even Lena came and popped by and, you know, gave me some stuff to wear and everyone was so professional. Everyone was on time. It was just, for that to be my first video and for it to be me, like, especially like just tackling the fact that I'm black and yes, not only am I in therapy, but my therapist is a black woman, you know, just trying to get people to just kind of think outside of what we've always been taught, you know, one of the most dangerous phrases in the language is we've always done it this way. So, how's that been working out so far? So.
Right, exactly.
But to say all of that, yes, I'm just glad that the song became what it was. And, yeah, you guys love it, so thank you.
Yeah, it's the melody. Like I said, your concept, the melody is incredible because it's catchy. It's definitely, if it was released, I was like, this gotta be a single. I was like, if you tour or do shows and concerts, I'm like, that's definitely one I would listen to. And I could hear like horn section. Just the musician in me, I hear like horn section. I hear, you know, to me, the bass is, yeah.
Listen, once I get this budget together or if somebody wants some, sponsor me. I'm going to have a 14 piece band.
Listen, I'm in the same boat as you. Yeah, I'm on the same wavelength with you. I feel like that's the experience of a live instrumentation with a vocalist. Because I was going to get it. This is going to be one of our topics. Is I want to talk about singers that don't want to. It was I saw a tweet from Ari Lennox. And I feel like she's one of the best, like, live vocalists, like, that's out right now. I was like, started listening to her, Ari Lennox.
So I knew her back when she was Courtney Salter. She and I met 10 years ago next May. And she's been a very good friend of mine. And to see her go from where she began, because she and I both started on YouTube, you know, doing covers, mm-hmm. and that's how we got linked up, and then I ended up going to D.C. for, and by the way, her name is pronounced Yazara.
I've been saying it wrong. Listen, blame Niecy Nash, because I heard her say it like that. That's why I was like, yeah, okay, all right, Yazara, okay.
Was the one that was having a release party, and so when I went to D.C., I met up with Ari, and we did a cover of No Love by Little Dragon. And that kind of became our thing. And then we did another cover. And then, you know, so it's just been cool to see her grow and finally get the recognition that she deserves. And yes, I love how consistent she is. She puts on an excellent show. Like, she's so much fun live. And I feel like she's another one that could do like a one woman show type thing. Like, it would definitely be just, yeah.
Yeah, she's funny too. I like that she has a personality. I saw some of her. I was like, she is hilarious. I was like, I like that, how that coincides as an artist. I was going to ask, listen, we were going to get into this topic. And I was going to, we got like, was it 27 or 26 minutes left if you want to stay on. I was going to get into this topic and talk about the artist of today. Well, if you're ready, we can go to break again. It was this Brandy joint that just released Freedom Rings. I was going to get into that if you're ready.
Yeah, well, what I was ready for, I had 6 minutes of rage pulled up here. And
yeah,
I can
we ain't got enough time yet.
Are you kidding me? We cannot do 6 minutes of rage tonight. How do
listen,
you?
We got a special guest star, man.
I understand.
We can put this to the side. To
well, guess
you
what?
We'll give you 30 minutes of rage next week. How about that? Is that negotiation you good with? Because we got to go to break again.
No.
So we can get this in.
No.
Well, I think this is my show. I think it's Soul Savage Radio Show. So.
It is.
If you were,
and
we didn't go to break. So we
but also, you
well,
said,
"Quit! I never saw the company."
No, I understand.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. We got a producer to shut it like that.
Oh my goodness! Are you kidding? No. You said no.
We gotta go to break.
You sounding like Gooseneck Mitch McConnell right now. Oh my goodness!
Listen,
I can't believe
I told
this.
You, I give you 30 minutes. You can give me 30 minutes.
Oh, I can't.
Yes, you get 30 minutes. Next
how
week.
Do you know that your
how, that?
How do you know that your guest didn't want to have some issues or topics about what's happening in this nation? How you know that?
Okay, since you're insisting, let's do 6 minutes of rage, so we can get ready to go to break.
I can't believe this.
Durant, this is a political segment called 6 Minutes of Rage.
Man,
and we're gonna let P Diddy, Puff Will, we're gonna let Puff Daddy Love Will do a segment, and then. And then we'll get into the topic. Will, if you're ready, we do 6 minutes of rain. Go ahead.
Oh my God. I can't believe that the host of this show is acting like, oh my goodness. All right, 45, that's all right, in the house. Hey, this is the 6 minutes of rage. Folks, look, I'm telling you right now, if you're not enraged, then you're not informed. You have to check this thing out, Ukraine. Oh, my goodness. Hey, 45 is now asking China, to intervene in what's going on. Okay, in the elections, Evangelist Mike Pence. Hey, guys, is he your next president? Do you want him to be? If Trump is impeached, hey, where does he stand on this? I'm going to just give you some. Trump envoys push Ukraine for commitment to investigations. Oh, WSJ ordered. Trump ordered Ukraine ambassador removed from complaints on Giuliani. From Giuliani? Can you believe this? Washington Post. Former Ukraine envoy says Giuliani was warned against Biden's the allegations that was coming out of Ukraine. I can't believe. Oh, my goodness. Jim Jordan. You remember the guy that's sticking his neck out for Trump? Hey, check the Ohio State sex scandal out of Jim Jordan. Yep, this guy. And somebody says that he should be the next president. Are you crazy? Oh, polls for impeachment of Trump is up 45%. Whistleblower called a traitor. Does this guy know what a traitor really is? This is in a war, and that means that this person should be killed. Unbelievable. Adam Schiff committing treason. Adam Schiff. Yep, he's leading the investigation. Adam, get him. Adam, get him. Should. Oh, my goodness. A deal with Trump. Oh, traitor. Definitely be treated as death. Border crisis still. That's going on. More allegations. He wants a moat, M-O-A-T, at the border with snakes and alligators. Spank fences. And he says, nope, I never said it. Oh, there's a tape of it, buddy. Oh, there's a second whistleblower says that, oh my goodness, somebody from the Treasury Department wanted to interfere with Trump's audit on his taxes. Pompeo is subpoenaed. That's right. Oh, Pino Grigio. Giuliani Oh my goodness, this clown. Now, if you had him as a lawyer, would you ask for a refund? I wouldn't have hired this clown in the first place. He was involved up to his neck in getting the ambassador from the United States to Ukraine fired. That's right, Giuliani was down. He was also given bad information, and he knew it. And he's still doing this. Folks, the thing that is really most infuriating to me, that there is a woman jailed for life for stealing a jacket for $159. I don't know what you heard about this or not, but the circus, the clown, I mean, the crimes that's being committed right under our noses right in the White House, you gonna jail a woman for life for stealing $159 for merchandise? So, I wonder what you wanna do with 45. Hey, back to you, EB, Q Lynn, our special guest, Duran.
Yes. Thank you so much for that 6 minutes of rage, Will, since that's satisfied. I hope that satisfied you.
He was going
to do your segment. I appreciate it. It was amazing. 6 minutes of rage with Will. Duran, sir, do you have any response to, he was talking about so much, do you keep up with the politics? And I know the Trump, the hot Cheeto and Puff is burning us to the ground, but hopefully they'll change soon with these impeachment inquirements. Are you keeping up with the politics of that? What do you feel about it?
Quiet as it's kept. I'm just trying to finish this album so that I can put in the soundtrack to the end of the world, because we all,
right.
Okay, like, you know, any minute now, like, the sun is going to cook us up and we are going to be short of air.
That's my point. That's the point.
I'm just going to be like, look, like, what's like, really, I honestly, and it's not that I don't care. It's just there's so much happening at all the time. We don't have a chance to recuperate. Like, I am really desensitized, like, extremely. So I'm just kind of like, all right, let me find what little pockets of happiness I can, because can't nothing touch my joy. You know, joy is the savings account. Actually, joy should really be the Roth IRA, okay? But happiness
Hello.
Is the second account. And I can't be gone. I can't be being a negative, you know, stretching myself too thin. So I have to worry about the shit that I have control over. Everything else is for the birds.
Listen, I feel you. I know, especially with this, I forgot he didn't bring up the Amber. I guess we could bring it up in the 6 minutes of rage, since we're not doing raggedy or savvy news this week. I don't even care to memorize the last thing. What's her name? Amber, she got convicted of murdering.
Amber Geiger.
Oh, yeah, whatever the hell her last name is. Who gives a shit? Listen, I don't care.
She'll probably be out in about three, maybe.
Right.
Community.
They was having Bible study afterwards too. That was insane.
But yo, I'm gonna tell you something. That wouldn't have been no white man.
Oh, absolutely not.
No. So they definitely made an example out of her because she's a woman. So it's like, you know,
deep. That's deep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that definitely wouldn't happen to a man. They used her as an example for sure. Mm-mm.
Wow. And I think you're right.
They were having Bible study and everything after I've never seen that. They had Bible studies, the judge was giving a script. Like, what kind of court process is this? I ain't never heard of that.
That's right.
Because I feel like because they might understand that this is about her being a woman. This ain't about none of that. This is just about the disdain that men have for women.
Wow.
Still.
Wow, that's
just
deep.
Like, yeah.
You know.
So I just, hey, but.
Right? And you know, that's why Hillary is not president. I think that has a lot to do with Hillary not being president.
Of course.
I mean, well
I've heard men say so. I've heard black men say so. Oh, well, she's a woman. And they voted for Trump.
And it's not, but you know what though? It's not even because she's a woman. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was because I was focused more on them kitten heels, and I'm just like, what kind of authority are you finna have wearing kitten heels? You know, just the indecisiveness of it all. You know, I'll be worried about the wrong shit.
Listen, your priorities. I feel like your priorities are in line. So I would, yeah. I feel like what's going to happen to Trump is the inevitable. It's clear that what he did was treason. The facts will present themselves. I'm not even going to stress myself this process because, okay, you know, so, if you understand how it works, so it should be good. So he'll be done. He's done.
So then, does this mean that Pence is going to take office?
I hope not.
No. The House Speaker. No.
If he's impeached, then it goes to Pence. Pence.
It goes to the House. It goes to Pelosi.
No, it does not.
If he's convicted, it goes to the Speaker.
It goes to the Vice President.
Okay, we'll see.
Nope, that was the law. Look it up.
That's what it's supposed to do, but things that the whole administration is going to go down. So
I hope so.
I mean, Mike Pence looks like a villain from an X-Men movie, so I'm not.
Whatever.
He having trouble keeping the laws that he's regulated in his state, so I'm not that worried about. He's done like ridiculous things with trying to play the gay away, you know, these programs,
Well, you know, Pence sounds like a suppressed homosexual.
That is absolutely.
You know what? Check this out. And this ain't just for him, this for anybody. But who he really is and who he's pretending to be need to have a long discussion with him.
I think you're right. Because a friend of mine told me today that there are some pictures about him with his lover, and it wasn't a female, but I need more proof. We don't want to pull out any fake news out here on the buzz.
You talking about them blonde highlights he had on. Oh,
okay.
Because if you notice,
some of the infamous and famous haters of the gay society are gays themselves. Some of them are.
Oh yeah. You don't spend that much time trying to go hard against something unless it is affecting you in some kind of way, because you can't hate what is not on the inside of you. It can't disturb you. So it's just, these are very disturbed homosexuals.
Listen, we got, if you want to stick around, we got this topic. Me and Evie were talking about, some weeks ago, we were talking about artists and passing down musical history, the artists of now, and how they should pass down musical history. We got 14 minutes left, so Will, if you're ready, we go to break and we're back and we'll talk a little bit about artists and musical history.
Okay.
I saw the train coming for me with the force of a million marching. Back down no more.
Brandon. Freedom. Hey, back. This is the Soul 70 Show. Q-Lin EBS special guest Duran.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I love that. Yes, we have this quick topic I just want to talk about. We were talking about artists of today. Do you think it's your responsibility, since you're a new artist, to pass down the musical history? Because I feel like the young kids, because some young kids, they don't even know who Johnny Gill is. And that, for me, that's childhood for me. So when I hear kids say they don't know who Johnny Gill is, and they don't know who Anita Baker is, they don't know who even Missy Elliott is. So I'm like, young kids that don't know who that is. During that era, do you think it's the artist's responsibility to pass down the musical history to keep it going?
For me personally, I think I can only speak for myself. I enjoy learning and teaching about things that I'm passionate about. So if I notice that someone might be into something and I'm like, you might like that, you know, check or find out who your inspiration is, find out who they were inspired by, and then maybe go to the source of that. Maybe you'll discover some things there that maybe, you know, your favorite didn't, you know. So it is very important to know. But at the same time, we all might not be avid listeners of an artist, but at least to know, you know, what they've done, at least, you know.
Yeah, because I forgot what artist it was. He was trying to describe, it was a new rapper, I forgot his name. My apologies to that young man. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Keke Palmer for that. Sorry to that man. But, he said, he was describing OGs versus old heads, and he was saying old heads are ones like, oh, y'all don't know new music, this new music is trash, y'all don't know nothing about good music, that old head. But he said the OGs is the one instilling the knowledge and giving the reference for them to go back to, like what, I love what Yari Lennox did with BMO, the Busta Rhymes sample in there. Like, I feel like that's part of the passing down the musical history, like keeping that, you know, not just 90s, but even the 80s samples, keeping that alive in the music, I feel like is potent to this musical climate.
Well, again, it's all about, you know, the approach. You know, I think there's a way to say and handle certain things. Even, you know, because us as artists, we're very sensitive about, you know, our craft and the things that we, and how we express ourselves. So if you're going to be someone that's older or an elder, you know, of a certain, you know, genre or generation, and you see someone coming up, it's like, look, you know, take them under your wing, you know, have a conversation with them, you know, expose them to some things that you know, and teach, you know, not necessarily talk at, but talk to, you know. So I have no issue with doing that, you know. Even Erica just bringing me on, you know, and just being able to be under, you know, just certain guidance and just being able to see and pay attention and just make mental notes of things, and you know, it becomes, you know, habit, and it becomes a necessity and an asset, you know, to just how you navigate through your craft. And so I'm here for the passing down of info.
Yeah, you go ahead, Ibi.
Oh, no, I was, I think a lot of it is also, some of it is, you don't have to be as focused on passing it down. It's through, like, interpolation. Like, when Erica's doing I Want You, and she interpolates, like, part of Juicy, Sugar Free in there, or last night I saw Liv Warfield, and one of the best shows I've been to all year.
Man!
This is my fourth time seeing Liv, and she, vocally, she is, in my opinion, like, unfuckwittable at this point, but just the way she would put different parts of Al Green or Chaka Khan into her music, and it'll make, you know, the casual listener who may not be as familiar be, you know, they get curious, like, what is that? I need to know more, and they go back and they do a little, you know, research of their own. But she also introduces this Asian singer, a Japanese singer, and I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this young lady's name right. If I'm not, I apologize. I think it's Nao Yoshioka.
Mm-hmm.
And just her, I had a chance to have a conversation with her after the show, just figuring out, you know, to be a Japanese woman, where did this voice come from? Where did this soul come from? And yeah. And that was what she said. She was like listening to people like Erica or listening to people like a Mary or a Liv, and they're putting all of these nuggets, these gems of the music they grew up on and that they love into something that you can relate to. I would love to see more of that from everybody. I like just keep passing it down. Like music is, it's like, it is the way that black people have had to tell our stories and pass them down. You know, we don't have the luxury of having our lives and our family histories or even our history as a people documented, yes. At least not self-documented. You know, everything is told to us. It's, you know, it's their history imposed onto us, and music has always been the way of us telling our own stories and us doing that ourselves. So a lot of that, like I said, it's you know, not necessarily sampling this person, because you can sample, you know, everybody all day long, but it don't mean shit if you're not acknowledging where the sample came from, if you're not using it in a way that's effective, that's making somebody be like, what is that? I need to know more. It goes back to what Duran was saying at the beginning of the show about interpreting music differently. Like, when I hear you sing something, I interpret, even like I was talking earlier about you singing Erica's That Hump. When you went to that second verse, like, it was the same, but it was somehow so different than the way Erica does it. So, I know that you probably interpreted the song differently than she did when she wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a listener, I had two different interpretations of this song that I love now. But a lot of that is, you know, these artists being comfortable enough and honest enough to have these conversations and use these moments as teachable moments.
Absolutely. Not definitely. And it's all about how you do it. You know, I'm all about respecting the foundation of a song and then putting my stank on it. But we don't want it to be to where it's just like we don't even know what the song is, you know. But
Right. Because at that point, what's the point? Like, we don't know what it is. You damn sure probably don't know what it is. As the artist singing it, you just singing what some producer told you. And that's another thing. You singing what some producer told you to sing, and like you're not breathing life into your music. So if you're not breathing any life into it, I'm not getting any life from it.
Yeah. Some people don't have the ability to emote what it is that they're singing. Sometimes they might have to go through that in order to be able to emote that. But if you have a young person singing about love and they've never been in love before, it's not going to resonate unless they have the ability to channel that. But even then, it's like, okay, we need to live a little bit more, and then, you know, and then we'll be able to really sing it from a place.
Yeah, it's like perfect example of that is where I like to say is Angela Beaufield's I Try, where she wrote this while she was 17 years old, and, you know, it might have been hot then, but that shit didn't pop until she experienced what love and what heartbreak was, and she went back and recorded the song. And had she recorded it earlier, it, like you said, she may not have been able to fully emote and express herself on record.
Yeah. That makes sense. You know? Here for it.
But yeah, it's an ongoing thing, and I know Kewin and I talk about it a lot, and we think about it a lot of what can we do to, because we're music heads, so what can we do to, you know, spread it? Like, how can we, you know, not only influence, you know, the fans that listen or fans of other artists, but the artists themselves to do that job? Like, and I know I'm not saying it's the job of the artist, but I feel that a lot of artists, they feel that obligation in a sense to, you know, not only put their artistry on display, but also it's a way of them paying homage to how they got to where they are, like Aretha said, how I got over. Like, you know, this is what got me here, and now I'm putting that on you. So I want you to know not only why I'm here, but how I got here.
How I got here. Absolutely. I feel it's kind of pointless to kind of go through something and not at least see the potential in someone, you know, that might be, you know, on that same path, you know. I mean, you can't, and of course you can't give everybody, like, you know, the whole thing, because, I mean, everybody's experience is going to be different.
You know? Right.
You know, so it's a balance. It's definitely a balance. Like I said, I'm here for it, so hopefully I can inspire people to want to do the same. So, because I'm inspired from someone, you know, teaching me. So,
and you're very vocal about, like, all of your inspirations. That's, like, one of my favorite things about you, just being so vocal and, you know, acknowledging the fact that, yeah, you know, I can sing my ass off, but there are people that have influenced me. There are people that have helped to put me on. There are people that have encouraged me. You know, like, you're being vocal about that does so much for me. You have no idea.
Wow. Thank you. I didn't know it was ever, you know, that serious for someone, you know, but I do get it, because, you know, sometimes people might feel that someone's doing something and they don't want to admit, oh, that's where you got that from or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have no issue saying, no, I was inspired by this. This is giving X, Y, and Z. I like setting up a story, you know, about, you know, influences, where it could have possibly come from. Like, that's, I like telling stories. So, yeah.
I told you about the Rick James biography book. He had a quote in there that I love. It says, He was talking about music. He says, I need more fire in my rock. I need more funk in my poke. What does that line mean to you?
That I need more fire. Say that one more time.
More fire in my rock and more funk in my poke. What does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, it sounds like you need some crack.
It does.
I never even thought of it like that, but that's hilarious.
So he definitely elevated. At one point. And he needs everybody that is in this musician bond ship to be on one accord. What is that accord?
Fuck. You are right on that. Look, I just love, when you read the book, I love how he, like, really breaks down, like, the craft of music, and he talks about who his favorite singers are, his favorite bands, and I just love that fact. And I brought that up because I feel like that's you. Like, I feel all that, like, the fire, like, I feel like everything with your melodies, like, it has to have a groove in it. Like, everything you,
yeah.
I feel like on that Soundcheck EP, it has, I mean, Soundcheck, I don't know what I said. My tongue got tired, but Soundcheck EP, I feel like all of it has a groove to it, and with the like, it's a consistent melody, and the pocket's there, the groove is there, and I feel like when you talk about Rick James being your Mount Rushmore, I 100% like agree with that, because I can feel that in there, because that's basically what he's saying. He needs to feel the groove at all times, and I feel like that's what I hear when I hear your music.
I hear you flipping.
Thanks.
Yes, and what did you say, Will?
I hear you flipping, because if he had said Prince, you've been all on top of that too. Okay, all right.
Listen, I love both. Listen, I equally love them both. I've said this so
both
many can't times.
Be on the
I feel like they're on the same level.
Both can't be on the Mount Rushmore.
Duran, he said some disrespectful stuff on this show. I would just say he says that Prince rides the bench.
That's
and
right.
He's on the bench.
Next
and
to MJ.
Michael, he's a Michael Jackson fan, so he wants to do this MJ versus Prince thing. I've already had a vocal coach on tell him that Prince's vocals is a 9 out of 10, and he can't accept it, so he wants to throw that in there.
I will
every
not
show.
Accept it.
How, yeah, Because, you know, people that don't clean out, you know, that sugar daddy, you know, people say they got people, he got that in there. So he's not, he just, you know, I don't know what's going on with his ear. I don't know if it's musically inclined with hearing greatness, because he keeps denying the greatness of Prince. I don't know how you
do
that.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness.
Whew. What do you think of that, Durant? Somebody that denies greatness of Prince. What do you think of that?
And denies the greatness kind of Michael Jackson.
I'm not denying the greatness of Michael Jackson.
I didn't say Michael.
I'm just saying.
If I had to buy a ticket, Michael versus Prince, I'd buy Michael's ticket. Period.
And that's your law. Listen, that's your ears. That's you. We're talking before the needles or after the needles. Which Michael are we talking about? Let's specify.
And it's my taste. And it's my taste and my money.
Okay, well that's you. Listen, I wanna hear, you know, Prince bring up 27 different amazing musicians to jam. I will hear that all day long versus a Michael Jackson show. Even Michael Jackson, I think that's it's two different artists. I can't even compare them. That's why I said that argument's not even valid.
Yes, you can.
It's a different kind of performance.
Yes, you can.
Michael didn't play instruments. Prince played multiple instruments. Like I said, can you play a xylophone?
Prince can't dance either, can he?
Let's lay this out. Let's lay this out real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Right here. Prince had the better musicianship, but Michael had the better bops, as well as the vision for the shit. Like, it's just, you can't say either. Well, I can't say either or, because they're great for different reasons for me. So while one I might listen to their music more, the other one I can appreciate the how vast they are in the things that they can do. So yeah, when you talk about Prince, you know, being the one to play the multiple instruments, absolutely. I actually saw Prince shortly before he died. This was 2014. And it was just, I don't know if a man outside of Maxwell has ever, like, made my eyes well up, but I think mine actually welled up, like, for real, for Prince. And not to say that wouldn't happen for Michael. I did not get a chance to see Michael. I wish I would have. But, no, it's apples and oranges, bruh. And quite frankly, while I might love a love of orange, I definitely love me a Granny Green Smith apple with peanut butter.
Ooh, that sounds good. I got hungry just thinking about that, but
is that 420?
Right, 420 expense. Listen, I love that's another part of you as well, because I say it all the time. I tell Evie all the time, I feel like the best singers, you know, because I feel like it enhances their voice a little bit. I don't know why. Like D'Angelo, Aretha Franklin, even, you know, she smokes, even though she smokes cigarettes and he smokes everything, but that's all another story. But I feel like that enhances, do you think that enhances your voice in terms of your higher registers?
No.
I mean in terms of the rawness, like a raw feel to it.
No.
You can have a natural raw feel to it, because there's a difference between having a natural rawness and then singing and your voice is damaged, and you think it's cute because it's a rap, but it's not a natural rap.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Ooh, that makes sense.
And everyone's voice is different. Just because I can smoke and sing at the same time does not mean that someone else can do that. So,
you know, that's very true.
I don't recommend the vices on myself for someone that's just starting or, you know, learning their voice. This is years and years of constantly singing. Like there was something that Dame had mentioned on the show where it's like, you need to be rehearsing for 8 hours every day. And I'm just like, there is never a time where I'm not singing. Like, you know, when I'm supposed to, I am still trying to keep myself from singing. So it's just, it's all about how consistent you are with your craft, to where it's like you got people that do 8 shows a week on Broadway, and after a show they can go out and party and drink and all that stuff and be fine the very next day on time, hitting it. But your body has to be conditioned for that. You can't just wake up one day and decide, oh, okay, I'm going to be Beyonce. Okay.
Right. Who's the singer of yours, like your all time, that you think has the best background vocals in their music?
Okay, so we I have to say Brandy and Beyonce for backgrounds, as far as females are concerned. Just because, but see, the difference between Beyonce and B is B will tuck hers. While she's doing real intricate stuff, she will have it tucked. So you would have to literally listen to the acapella and literally have good headphones to hear everything. Brandy, she's going to have everything up and pan, so you can hear it all.
Ooh.
So,
man,
it's all.
I think. Right.
Yeah.
I say wrong with Faith Evans. I feel like, you know, those gospel, I feel like those gospel harmonies she did on that debut album, man, is like out of this world good. Like, to me, that's one. And then also Mary J. Blige too. I feel like people, I don't say it all the time, but she's one of my favorites in terms of the Share My World album, My Life.
Oh, yeah.
And then those harmonies, I feel like she gets discredited a lot for those. And I feel like EB talks on it all the time. EB, break it down. Like, what do you like? What do you think of her harmonies in terms of? Because I feel like she blends her notes real well, and sometimes I can never tell the soprano note from the alto note that she does, because I feel like she blends them all the time. And what you think of that?
Well,
when you listen.
But keep in mind too that Faith Evans was doing a lot of them backgrounds on Mary's album.
Talking right.
She was doing background on the My Life album.
She was on four of the songs, and her vocals come through clear. Like, you know, a Faith Evans background vocal is like a Kelly Price background vocal. It's like a Lisa Fisher background.
Yes,
you know them when you hear them.
Yes,
they are distinct.
That's Faith.
You know, and I'm gonna put this out there too. I'm gonna add your name to the list, Duran, and I'm gonna add Keisha Jackson's name to the list. Because when I hear these backgrounds, I know them. But I think the thing about Mary is, like, she will go in and layer her background vocals, and she will stack them in such a way that on first listen, you will not hear every note that she hits. You have to go back and listen, and like you were talking about earlier, good headphones. And a lot of the times, she's got a sister with her, or she does that thing that Erica does, that Shaka does, that Aretha did. They know how to pick their background singers. They know that background singers are supposed to complement your lead vocals, not be in the background. And that's what a lot of people forget. Like, they want the backgrounds in the background. No, because I've been to, I'm not going to name the names. I've been to a couple Legends shows, and those vocalists, they carry the show for the singer. And that was their job. That's what they are supposed to do. That's it. Like, if so-and-so can't hit this note on this night, then they ought to be able to turn around and do a real quick snap and point, and you better be on the note. And if you're not, then you need to reevaluate what you're doing back there, because that is your job.
Right. I put Shaka and Anita Baker. I forgot to mention, those are my top five right there with best
background
vocals.
Always been A1. Like,
I mean, Shaka had Whitney on her first album in the background, so you know.
Yeah.
You ready.
Right. We are at the end of the Soul Savage radio show. We had a little bit extended time, but I want to thank Duran Bernard for coming on. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And Soul Savage Radio airs every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Pacific Standard Time. We out, y'all. We'll be back next week.
Like I forgot what being fly is about. I'm just wiser now. Twice made in winter, hopes made in spring. Trying to remember what made me sing. Crumbled and broken, hoping these wings could help me rise again. Hey, something just beyond your grasp won't ground me. Something that I lost and last just found me. I'm popping far beyond the paparazzi. I can't stop y'all from watching, but you're watching me. Taking off. Train me, train me.
Hey, that's the Soul 70 show here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, keep it locked right here on The Buzz, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hey, coming up, we have Mr. Melody with his Mellow Moves radio show. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lock it in, studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com.